You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
8:06, good morning. Nice to have you back here up north on this Friday morning, August the 15th. Coming up later this hour, we'll be talking to Mike Clemens. He's with the Packers down in Indianapolis. Caught yesterday's joint practice between the Packers and the Indianapolis Colts. And we'll preview tomorrow afternoon's preseason tilt between the two squads. And tell us about things like, you know, Jordan Love's injury and how some of the other players are reacting to training camp so far. Of course, we'll talk about the Brewers' winning streak. Yeah, the free burger giveaway was announced. It'll be next week, Wednesday afternoon, from like 2 to 6 at all the George Webb locations. But forget the burgers for a second. I mean, it's a 12-game winning streak and potentially growing again tonight when the Brewers are back in action against the Cincinnati Reds. Coverage from Cincinnati begins at 5:05 this evening on several Civic Media stations. And it is Free Ticket Friday. If you haven't been around yet, to get the keyword to text in before 9 o'clock for your chance to win 4 tickets to the Brewers-San Francisco Giants game next weekend, next Saturday, what would that be, the 23rd at American Family Field? Well, stick around. I'll give you that keyword in just a little bit. But first, we've got a forecast for the weekend. A little bit of steam and a little bit of rain, and then a lot of bit of rain, as the case might be. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot to tell us more about that. And is it still our understanding that, I mean, we know this thing's going to rain and rain and rain and rain, but we're still not sure where exactly it's going to park itself when it does that?
Correct. We do not know just yet. It's been a headache. We've been watching it for many, many days. It first wanted to target the north. Now it's moving a little bit more to the south. But I would say heads up on I-94, pretty much from Eau Claire to Reedsburg, even into Madison. I'm going to put my target at heaviest rain right around there, if I had to say so at this moment. Potential there for over 4 inches, maybe pushing 6-7 inches. I mean, we are looking at some of these model runs coming in quite heavy. So while I'm hoping it's only a widespread 2 inches across Wisconsin as we go through this weekend, there are going to be pockets of very heavy rainfall depending where the system sets up. So kind of the same thing as last weekend, where we've got the warm front through right now, heating up, hot, humid, some 90-degree temperatures both today and tomorrow far south in the state. It's going to be feeling like the low to mid-90s with the heat index and high humidity, so a lot of juice for the storms to drink. I like to say that because it's got, the more it drinks, right, the more it can dump. So that's why we're seeing these high rainfall totals with these above-average seasonal temperatures right now. We should be in the low 80s, not low 90s. So we've got a lot of that heat and humidity to work with, and it's going to stick around tomorrow. It's going to kind of flirt in the southern part of the state, even into Monday, too. So we're going to be dealing with this not only this evening, all weekend long, into Monday and even into Tuesday, too, before this whole system clears on out of here. So multiple systems moving through with heavy rainfall. Some storms could be strong to severe today. They are going to start in Iowa and Minnesota later on this evening and kind of pushing into our area, definitely through the night with heavy rain. We could see some strong winds, plus the soil's already saturated. So with strong winds, we could see more trees coming down. It's easier to uproot those and push those down. And tomorrow morning, a big, strong wave wants to move through, especially northern parts of the state. Could be a bow echo with high winds. This is going to hit early in the morning tomorrow. Kind of eases by noon, but then sends more showers and storms south through the state. And then the rain ramps up again Sunday morning, Sunday night, and into our Monday. So stay safe out there. Make sure you're doing anything you can if you're going to be in a flood-prone area. I wouldn't want to stay there, honestly, especially if you're by some rivers. If we got 4 to 7 inch totals possible in the state.
Yeah. Oh, no. 7 inches definitely. That was kind of our benchmark. If we ever got 7 inches of rain, we could count on water in the basement. Oh. That hopefully we've addressed through a remodeling project. But Anytime I hear that, I still get nervous that that might be the case. Obviously, the place where people should be is their local Civic Media radio station to hear all the latest. But do you, by chance, in episodes like this, do you and other Civic Media folks, you know, go right to, you know, some social media platform to put updates on if people can't be by their radio?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Social media, definitely the place to go. I'm doing updates. I know definitely other people here are as well. It's kind of the fastest way to get to you, if we can, to your phone. So if you can, check it out. We're trying to keep you safe.
Yeah, just keep connected to Brittany all weekend. That's really what we're trying to say here. Brittany, thank you so much. Hope it goes well and hope you otherwise have a really nice weekend.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Now, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is normally here at this 8 a.m. hour on Fridays, but as many of you know, she is traveling this week. And in fact, we'll let her explain it, because she put up a post on social media yesterday that I thought I would share with you, a little commentary from her. She's at a medical conference in Lima, Peru, as she's about to tell you, and has some observations based on what she has seen of the government down there and some of her conversations. So about 90 seconds here. Give a listen to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, her latest social media post from yesterday.
I'm in Lima, Peru right now, and what I'm seeing here is giving me serious perspective on our own American democracy. I was invited to speak at the Peruvian National OBGYN meeting to talk about rural maternal health, among other things. And I'm learning a lot myself. Peru is navigating some real governmental challenges, protests, political instability, questions about democratic institutions. Does that sound familiar? Well, this eye-opening experience is making me recommit to something really important about what's going on back home. And it's this. Democracy isn't something you just have. It's something you actively have to work for every single day. Watching the Peruvians navigate these challenges reminds me that, in America, we can't just assume that our democratic institutions will protect themselves. We have to show up, we have to participate, and we have to make our democracy a priority. Because democracy only works when we make it work. There's so much need right now, and so many ways to pitch in. You can volunteer at a local food bank, join a peaceful protest, run for something, help out a neighbor in need, and more. There's a place for every single one of us in this fight to save our democracy. So ask yourself, hey, where do I fit in?
There's Dr. Lyerly reporting from Lima, Peru, and it begs two questions. First, can we outlaw whatever horns I'm hearing honking on the streets of Lima?
Yeah, I was losing my mind.
That's producer Parker Olson and I commenting on the traffic in Peru. Question number two is, when do we draft Kristen to run for governor? Because, I mean, that was extremely well put. And she's right. She's right when she says run for something. She's run for something twice. Let's do it again. Let's get her drafted. She's not here. She can't say no, right?
You are the ultimate recruiter for governor races.
Apps for anybody else. Yes. In fact, yesterday I spoke with somebody who is contemplating a run for Congress in the 7th District. I spoke to somebody who's contemplating a run for legislature. And I'm always flattered that people want to ask, you know, my advice on things. And, you know, they always kind of, you know, hint that, you know, are you going to run for something? And I always love that I get to be now in this position, amazingly passive aggressive at suggesting that other people should be doing that, because I've done mine. And I'm very happy where I am, trying to cheer on the cause of democracy from here, as Kristen likes to say.
You could do it. You could do it.
Yeah.
I believe
I could. I could. And I choose to stay right here. And I will get up early in the morning for that, to avoid all the other stuff that I used to do back in a younger life. I had so much energy back then. I was young, skinny. The way it should be. I looked up a little bit about Peruvian democracy just based on what Kristen was saying in her reel there just now. And it really is striking to see the potential parallels to what is happening in this country here. In fact, the nonprofit group Freedom House, which rates democracies around the country, brought Peru down from a rating of free in 2022 to partly free last year because of the ongoing corruption and the way that there is almost no institution, political institution in Peru right now that is not under the thumb of Congress. And frankly, that's something we could be saying here too, is how many more institutions will be under the thumb of the president rather than three separate independent branches of government? It's worth wondering out loud if this is really the path that we want our democracy to take. So I appreciate Kristen bringing that up for us. Let me talk briefly about the state budget surplus, because it's shrinking, and that's okay. There's a new report out by the Wisconsin Policy Forum that has looked at the new state budget, looked at all the spending hikes for things like special education, childcare, roads, hospital revenue, and also looked at the income tax cuts that are coming, $1.5 billion in tax cuts over the next 2 years. Now, as a result, that's going to bring state reserves down by about $3.6 billion. Good. Remember, at one point, the state budget surplus had hit $6 billion, $6 billion just sitting there. Now, even after reserves are depleted, according to the report, the state will still retain its $2 billion balance in its rainy day fund. And so that would bring total estimated reserves 2 years from now to roughly $2.8 billion. And by the way, I would remind you, the rainy day fund has never been tapped. Even in 2020, as the pandemic was ravaging through Wisconsin, Republicans controlling the legislature went on a 9-month vacation, did not lift a finger to tap into that rainy day fund to help people who were in desperate straits and small businesses and others. We managed to get through it anyway, but it was a lot harder than it should have been. Now, the situation we have currently could be made worse because of Trump's budget cuts or a recession that he seems hell-bent on triggering here. So there are things that are out of our control. But I think we did the best with what we could control. With a Republican legislature and a Democratic governor, we found a balance of tax cuts and spending increases that did not make a lot of people happy, but it also at least put much of our budget surplus to work. And that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to work for us. It's not there to sit, and it's not there to be squandered. And as has been mentioned many times, Republican legislators tried 3 years ago to hold on to the surplus in the hopes that Tim Michaels would become governor, and they would have loved to have held on to the full surplus this time around with Tony Evers not running for a third term, and again hoping that with a Republican governor and a Republican legislature, they could put it all down the rat hole of tax cuts geared toward the very wealthy. That's not the right way to handle the surplus either. It needs that kind of balanced approach. And when the surplus is fairly well depleted and we have to go back to, you know, normal budget balancing, finding the right mix of spending and taxation, I would hope that we stop trying to engage in giveaways, especially of the tax cut kind. I look at that manufacturing agriculture credit, which essentially eliminates the corporate income tax in Wisconsin, a massive giveaway with no requirement needed to prove that you've created jobs. It would be nice if we could get to a new normal of fair taxes and fair spending and a balanced budget approach that doesn't have these wild billion-dollar swings one way or another. But to do that, we're going to have to put some good people in office starting next year. A local update is next for some of you, and coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk to Mike Clemens live from Indianapolis. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, you want that word? Yeah, here's the keyword. First, FIRST. Go get yourself some Brewers tickets. Text it in.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, remember, it is Free Ticket Friday, and if you didn't hear me blurting it out right before the commercial break, the keyword is FIRST, F-I-R-S-T. Head over to the Civic Media app, call up any of the radio stations on there, use the text feature, and text us the word FIRST, F-I-R-S-T. There will be more keywords, more chances to enter throughout the course of the day. And at the end of the day, all of those entries that came in statewide, one will be chosen to win tickets for club-level seats to see the Brewers versus the San Francisco Giants next Saturday, August 23rd. But again, you've got to send us FIRST, the keyword FIRST, by 9 o'clock. And that's if you use the text feature on the Civic Media app. However, you can also use the voice note feature on there, and you can leave us a little audio note as well with a comment or a question or a suggestion, and we will listen to those and maybe pop those up on air as well. And if you can't catch something that we talked about earlier, I would highly recommend that you pod this program. Head over to Spotify and follow us. Head over to Apple, subscribe to us, whatever you prefer, and take us along with you. We'd prefer, of course, that you listen live across the Civic Media Radio Network, but we have all of these other options for you to give a listen as well. For example, you might have missed it in our 6 a.m. hour when we talked about the Wausau mayor and the purloined absentee ballot drop box from about a year ago, when Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney took it upon himself to remove a ballot drop box that was being installed outside of City Hall. That's a no-no. And ever since that time, the State Department of Justice said it would lead an investigation. The Wausau Ethics Board has investigated, and they have a hearing set for September 5th. But the Marathon County District Attorney also sought a special prosecutor in order to avoid any apparent conflict of interest. And so the Marathon County District Attorney has put that request out for a special prosecutor, and the special prosecutor has just been named. And it's the Fond du Lac County District Attorney, Eric Toney, which is kind of weird given that Mayor Doug Dinney has been spouting the Republican talking points meant to undermine the integrity of absentee ballot drop boxes, and Eric Toney was the last Republican candidate for Attorney General and might be the next Republican candidate for Attorney General or Governor or something else. There are 70-some district attorneys all across Wisconsin. Why the Republican district attorney in Fond du Lac County, who recently ran for Attorney General on what was a blatantly political move by the mayor of Wausau? It just seems that we may not see the consequences that an action like this merits. And if we don't, it means there's going to be more monkeying around next time. And we can't predict what kind there will be. Whoever would have thought that a mayor would grab a little dolly handcart there and not only move an absentee ballot drop box, take it away, but take pictures of himself in the process and brag about it, saying, well, I don't believe that this is how this should be done, when it's not his call. It's not his call. It's written right there in state law. And yet there have been no consequences yet. And with the naming of this particular special prosecutor, I will just simply say that confidence isn't exactly high that we're going to see some consequences here. And then we'll have to see what happens next year in terms of actions and perhaps consequences for them. All right, one more note. I would normally want to save this for next week in our climate check report, our little feature with Melissa Baldoff, but since it's relatively new, I wanted to salute the Racine Unified School Board for voting on 4 solar panel projects that are looking to save the Racine School District nearly $12 million over a 25-year period. This is a solar panel project that will, according to the chief operations officer, maximize self-funding sources and deliver strong financial returns. What do we mean by self-funding sources? Not having to raise taxes to do this because of the way that the funds are coming from elsewhere. The $5 million installation cost is being offset in large part by $1.1 million in federal incentives. What are those $1.1 million in federal incentives? I called down to the Racine School District yesterday just to confirm that indeed it is President Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. and the funds that are being made available to school districts, businesses, homes across the country to make these investments in solar energy. In the Racine School District at GI Case High School, a rooftop solar project is expected to offset 30% of their energy use. At Gifford K through 8, both roof and ground solar panels will offset 45% of their energy use. At Goodland Montessori, 93% offset of energy use through solar panels. And at Walden Middle and High School, a rooftop solar project is expected to offset 22% of energy use. And again, all told, $12 million in savings over 25 years. That will lead to a nearly 10% reduction in electric and natural gas incentives. Along with the $1.1 million from the federal government comes another $62,000 from Focus on Energy, which folks know is a partner in the state with Wisconsin Utilities that give incentives and rebates for renewable energy projects. So every time you hear somebody like a Tom Tiffany, he loves that phrase, you know, green new scam or however it is that they like to. Derek Van Orden doing the same thing. When they're voting against job creation in their own districts, when they're voting against you saving money through taxes that you don't have to pay for energy bills that are as high, just remember that for a convenient partisan talking point, these are folks that are willing to trash real savings and not to mention cleaner energy sources, which are good for all of us in the long run. Mike Clemens is coming up next from Indianapolis to talk Packers and Brewers on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Once again, it's Free Ticket Friday here across the Civic Media Radio Network, and this hour's keyword is FIRST, F-I-R-S-T, like first base or first inning. Text FIRST through the Civic Media app and be in the running. More keywords throughout the course of the day, and then all of those entries statewide across all the stations will have one lucky winner chosen to get 4 club-level seats to see the Brewers versus the San Francisco Giants next weekend, Saturday, August 23rd. It's an evening game. Again, you got till 9 o'clock to text us FIRST, F-I-R-S-T. Let's turn now to Mike Clemens, who had been reporting from Packer training camp in Green Bay. He's still reporting from the Packers, but this time we forced him to go to Indiana, where he joins us now to talk about what's happening with a joint practice against the Colts in Indianapolis yesterday. There's a pregame coming up tomorrow. Mike, good morning. How are things in Indianapolis?
Hot, sticky, humid, about 92 degrees out there yesterday, Pat. We had a joint practice with the Packers and the Colts. I had kind of a nice brush. It's something I got to say something to someone that I kind of been waiting to do for 15 years.
Oh,
and that's okay. You drive into the Colts facility, which is north of town, Carmel, Westfield, beautiful community, like Rolling Meadows, giant houses, you know, kind of expensive neighborhood and stuff. But then you get to this facility, it's got 17 different fields. Honestly, I think that probably used to be a place where they had horses that could graze and stuff, you know, back in the day, because all fenced in. They've got grandstands. They got like an NFL experience where kids can play football or run the 40-yard dash and those kinds of things. And then you get in, and then there's some network people there, and there's some guys there from ESPN. And so I walk up to Ryan Clark, who was a safety for the Pittsburgh Steelers back in the day, along with Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. And so when I covered Super Bowl 45 with the Packers against the Steelers, with, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews and Charles Woodson, then you would go to the Packers in the morning, and then you go out to the Steelers in Fort Wayne in the afternoon. They played the game in Dallas. And after talking to Ben Roethlisberger, then we go over to a little press conference, and there's this safety, Ryan Clark. He took questions for about 20 minutes. And I called in, you know, back to the office, and I said, that dude should be an analyst someday. So I got to go up and say, hey, RC, and I introduced myself, told him that story, and, you know, got a nice fist bump. And for the rest of the day, he's like, hey, Mike, and he would ask me questions about the Packers. But, you know, he's great on ESPN now. So that's kind of fun when you get to make connections with guys like that.
It's great when you see the potential early on, you know, and say that these are people who can get something done and recognize talent early on. Sometimes it's athletic. Sometimes it's what they're going to do afterwards. I think of, you know, when Christian Yelich was injured, and by the way, Roger and Stevens Point put on Facebook, it was a year ago today, Christian Yelich made an announcement on his social media that he would undergo back surgery, ending his season. What a difference a healthy and focused Christian Yelich makes. I'd agree, Roger, but Mike, you and I both know he had a really good turn in the broadcast booth while he was recovering. And, you know, some athletes can make that turn, others cannot. So that's a pretty good ear out of you to be able to catch that.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, though, you know, you learned this is, you have to find these guys to help you explain what's going on with the games. That's how you, you know, and you listen to the coaches and you kind of build that relationship to, you know, what are the challenges that they're facing. So one other surprise was, well, here's Jordan Love. Oh, okay. Because last week, Saturday night, against the Jets in his last play, Jordan Love goes back to pass, gets sacked by the Jets, and bangs his left hand, his non-throwing hand, on a helmet. He comes out to practice on Monday to try and test it out, this sore left thumb. And, you know, it's like rubber. You know, it's just the grip isn't quite there, and you're handed off and stuff. And who knows, maybe there's some pain. He's not going to let you know that. So after talking to the doctors, they fly him out to a specialist in Los Angeles. He has surgery, so he joined the team. Now, Pat, he's got this cast that completely covers his left arm. I mean, you know, it goes all the way around. It's thick, man. They're going to need a jackhammer to take that thing off. But we got to talk to Jordan Love and ask him, all right, so what happened?
Had a thumb injury, torn ligament in my thumb, and we did a surgery to repair it. It's a UCL injury. So, yeah, just had a surgery and, on the road to recovery.
And to which people, I'm sure, all said, wait, you did what? You had surgery? But, again, the non-throwing hand. So what's the long-term prognosis here?
On a torn UCL. Mm-hmm. I go, wait a minute, UCL. Okay, you know, I'm no Dr. Kristen Lyerly, but that's the ligament that connects the elbow to the wrist and, you know, to the thumb. If that is in the elbow, you have Tommy John surgery as a baseball pitcher. You're out a year.
Yeah.
You're out a year. So that ligament is what connects the bones and the thumb, you know, the opposing finger. And so that's what he had repaired. Now they're claiming that they can cut that cast off by, you know, this time next week. Maybe he can stand out there for a couple of individual drills. You know, his training camp's essentially over.
Yeah.
But you know, they're hoping that by the first week of September, he can get back, get into practice, and get ready to take on the Lions on September 7th. So then in the meantime, we had this joint practice. They're getting ready for their game tomorrow against the Colts. So it's Malik Willis, the backup quarterback, who actually beat the Colts when Love was down with a knee injury last year. But, you know, who's he got to throw to? Because Jaden Reed, you know, like your top numbers receiver last year, he's been out now. He's got a foot injury. He's out there with a walking boot. Dontavian Wicks has been out with a calf injury. And then Romeo Doubs, who's had a really good camp. He goes out for a pass the other day, collides with the Packers safety, Evan Williams, and he's out with a back injury right now. So that leaves you with, you know, Matthew Golden, the first-round pick, who looks great, looked good in practice yesterday. Malik Heath, undrafted guy they've had for a year or two. Mecole Hardman, who they picked up in free agency. So after practice, you know, I go to another one of those sources, and that's Tucker Kraft, the tight end, who's kind of out there helping direct traffic and getting guys lined up before they snap the ball. I asked a very sweaty and tired Tucker Kraft, the tight end, well, how do you think this practice just went with the Colts?
Some of our youth showed a lot. When we're out there, the importance is knowing what to do and to doing it at a really fast speed at a very consistent level. So our youth showed a little bit some instances with the injuries we have on our depth chart. So we had guys coming up and, you know, playing. You know, we're out here full pads expecting big things from some of the guys that we're elevating. And we left some meat on the bone, you know. I felt like we're out here, we were doing a good job competing, but we know the level that we expect to play at, and I personally just didn't think that we had all, We didn't empty the tank.
So is that what you'll be looking at most then in tomorrow's preseason game?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you're going to be looking at some of the battles they're going to have at wide receiver. I'm really curious about running back because after Josh Jacobs, you know, who are they going to have? We asked LaFleur that, and I said, you know, what are you looking for in a backup in Josh Jacobs? He said, another Josh Jacobs. So they've got this kid that they drafted in the third round last year. He's been nothing but injured. His name is Marshawn Lloyd. Now he got back and he got a couple of snaps in yesterday because he was out with a groin injury at the start of this camp. So whether or not he gets in there tomorrow, number 32, we'll be looking for that. But that battle at backup running back, to be sure.
Yeah. Let's turn our attention to the Brewers. Still streaking, 12 and counting. Freeburger's coming next week, next Wednesday afternoon, 2 to 6, at those George Webb restaurants in southeast Wisconsin. That's got everybody happy, but, I mean, let's not forget, the streak's not over yet. They could pick it up tonight against Cincinnati. Pre-game begins at 5:05 on several Civic Media stations. So, you know, again, Mike, we're trying to enjoy the ride here, but 13 would be mighty nice, shades of 1987.
Exactly. And, you know, I was around there in 87 when they did it then. That team back there did it. And then, I was working on a station, The Mix, at the time with a guy named Mark Richards who did the afternoon show. And so they sent us out to George Webb's to do a live broadcast. And, you know, people were standing in line for 2 hours to get one of these free burgers. You know, 167,000 sold that or served that day. And by the way, you know, fun story. You know who Mark Richards is today?
No.
He's the voice of the Brewers at American Family Field. He's the public address announcer.
Oh, wow.
At the Brewer games.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's all that. And that's just kind of that special stuff that, you know, that's going on at the ballpark these days. And so, you know, Brendan Woodruff, their veteran, remember Merlin Olsen?
Yeah.
The defensive line. This guy reminds me of Merlin Olsen, the longtime defense, the Rams.
He does kind of, yes, like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it just big, it just it reflective. Wasn't he in Little House on the Prairie and acting? And then he was a play-by-play guy for football. So I went to Brandon Woodruff, and I said, you know, everyone's talking about, you know, they kind of sense something. Like, you know, Euchre passed, and you're thinking about him every day and how Pat Murphy has kind of stepped into that role. And, you know, there's more than just, you know, getting walks, getting singles where the drop at the right place, stealing bases, making outstanding plays in the field to keep this streak going. You know, do you think there's something special going on?
It's funny you mentioned that. I mean, who couldn't, you know, help but think that in the Mets series, right? You know, that was his last series, Ukes, and just how those games played out, like, incredible. And, you know, there's something to it. And, yeah, magical is a good word. I mean, it's just – been fun. It's just cool to be a part of. You don't realize when you're in it, you know, but like looking back, like you see how those games played out against the Mets series it was, you know, incredible.
It really is on par with how Dodger fans were feeling after the passing of Vin Scully, that you want something magical to happen, you know, in tribute to somebody that was part of the team for so long. So yeah, I'm seeing signs in the stands now that just simply say Euchre Magic. And why wouldn't you, right?
Wow, Pat, that's a great connection. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Vin Scully and, you know, just something special. And then they go and win the World Series last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, tonight they're in Cincinnati, open a series against the Mets. If they win tonight, that'll be their 13th row, ties the franchise record. And I'm sure they'd love to, you know, get into the record books with 14 or more wins just to keep this thing going as long as they can.
Oh my goodness! Yes, why not? Now I'm looking on the website here, on one of the websites, and Quinn Priester's listed as a probable starter for Saturday, Jose Quintana for Sunday. I am not seeing it. Still says TBD next to them for tonight's game. And I wonder. And I'm being a little flippant here, Mike, but tonight's game is one of those Friday night games that sometimes people are going to turn on their TVs and they're not going to find it, and they're going to discover once again that some of these Friday night games, they end up on Apple TV. And now I've got Apple TV. Though, I'll watch it, but a lot of people are going to be disappointed. They can almost think, "Oh, the Brewers are like, hey, nobody's watching anyway. It's on Apple TV. We'll name a starting pitcher later on, right?"
Yeah, it's revenue, man. These leagues, I mean, it's like, I don't know why they get away from, you know, the average fan having to play a cat and mouse game to find out where's the game tonight, but they get so much more additional revenue. That's why they have these streaming videos, and there's going to be more of it, not only for football, but baseball and basketball too.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, a reminder that the George Webb people will start handing out vouchers as well here for Fruit Burgers. You don't have to wait in line next Wednesday, but however you celebrate it responsibly. Don't eat that hamburger too fast. Mike Clemens, enjoy Indianapolis. We will we'll look forward to a report next week. Have a great weekend. Safe travels.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Take care now. Hey, we will have a local update next for some of you. And if that's the case, then have a great weekend. We'll see you back here bright and early 6 a.m. Monday here up north. For the rest of you, we'll have some final news and notes from Lake Wissota right after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Last call for Free Ticket Friday for this hour's word, FIRST, F-I-R-S-T. Use the Civic Media app, text that our way, and be in the running for a statewide drawing at the end of the day. Several keywords throughout the course of the day, so several chances to enter and win four tickets to see the Brewers versus the San Francisco Giants next week, Saturday, August 23rd. It's an evening game. You need to be able to receive electronic tickets on your phone and be able to use them at the ballpark. So keep that in mind and maybe send us the word FIRST sometime in the next 6 minutes or so. Senator Tammy Baldwin will be in the Milwaukee area today, joining County Executive David Crowley and Mayor Cavalier Johnson to visit the areas impacted by extreme weather and flooding events. On Thursday, Senator Baldwin called on President Donald Trump to approve Governor Tony Evers' request for federal support in order to respond to all of the storm damage in Wisconsin. Again, I would hope that Trump follows through, even if you have to say, you know, you carried Wisconsin last year, so technically it's a red state for you, and that would free up the funds. So long as he frees up the funds for all of the victims and doesn't do something juvenile, like, say, exclude Milwaukee County. And I don't even, it's weird to even think like that in this day and age, and yet, given his past precedent, that's exactly the kind of thing that could be happening. Up North News has a newsletter that you can subscribe to, one for the weekdays, one on the weekends. And in today's edition, there is a bit more about the George Webb Burger giveaway that's happening next Wednesday. However, starting today, you can also swing by one of the George Webb restaurants and get a voucher good for a free burger at some point in the future. Also in today's newsletter, a link to a story that we talked about earlier. Most folks aren't really into, you know, cemetery tours and finding the graves of famous people, but other people are. And there are more than a dozen famous folks buried in Wisconsin who might be on somebody's, bucket list to see in terms of graves. They include people like, you know, Les Paul, who is the father of, you know, the electric guitar and other music and much more. So again, that story's on our website, and you can also find a link in today's newsletter. Sign up for that over at upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, we've got our Sunday morning newsletter that I'm going to be working on today with some of the big headlines of the week. And then I've got to come up with a new question of the week as well. And this one was really good this week. Good responses by folks about whether politicians should keep their personal social media accounts or ditch them during the time that they're in office. And there are people that say, nope, you should keep them because we get to see what they're really like, even if what they're really like is not a nice person. Others say that it should be deleted. You should just focus on your job. And so we appreciate all the answers. We'll come up with a new question. So subscribe in time to get our Sunday morning newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, again over at upnorthnewswi.com. Coming up a little later on the Civic Media Radio Network, the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 until 6. Maggie's guest at 4:30 will be Lowell Barrington discussing today's Trump-Putin summit in Alaska and what will happen next in the war between Russia and Ukraine. I'm always loath to say war between Russia and Ukraine. It was Russia's invasion of Ukraine and whether Trump is a help or a hindrance in there. And then at 5:50, Maggie's going to be talking with Laura Berg from WFHR, our civic media station in Wisconsin Rapids. And that's because WFHR is celebrating its 85th anniversary. And as part of it, there will be a nice party in the parking lot there next week. And we're going to take the show there, too. I'm going to travel down and we'll be doing our show from WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids to Wednesday morning from 6 until 9. And so we invite you to listen in. We'll talk a bit about the history. And one thing I'm not going to give away is we're going to tell you what does WFHR stand for. It's like a lot of old radio call letters. Some were named for companies. Some were named for people. Not everything has a very obvious connection to, you know, the particular city that they're in. I mean, like the TV station where I worked at, WEAU, not tough to figure out that EAU is from Eau Claire. But others have definitions that you would not be able to come up with. And that is definitely the case over with our friends at WFHR. So stick around Wednesday morning, and we'll answer that question for you as well. If you missed it earlier, we talked about how President Trump is going to be nominating a new upcoming judge on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. And he's doing so without consulting the senators from that state, Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin. The White House has decided to go on their own, going rogue, essentially, interviewing nominees on their own. And according to Dan Bice in the Journal Sentinel, that nominee for the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals here in Wisconsin is going to be Assistant U.S. Attorney Rebecca Tableson, my apologies. She's one of two candidates for the post who had been recommended by a judicial nominating commission that was set up by Senators Baldwin and Johnson. So the two senators, one of the things that they agree on is how to vet these candidates for federal judgeships, and then they make recommendations. Well, they set up the commission, and the commission had recommended them, but in terms of whether Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson would recommend that person, it hadn't gotten to that point yet with Rebecca Tableson. It's just the White House going on their own. It could be, of course, because she's got strong conservative credentials, as Dan Bice writes. She's a member of the Federalist Society. She was a clerk for Justices Antonin Scalia and Brett Kavanaugh. She's been an assistant U.S. attorney in Milwaukee for nearly a decade. So now we'll see if she does come up for confirmation, is put on the bench, and then whether she is truly an independent judge or, you know, the latest in a long line of Trump sycophants that have been put on the bench with lifetime appointments. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. Find more at upnorthnewswi.com. Thanks so much for being a part of our week here. Matt and Air on Air is coming up next. I'll see you Monday morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.